The Red Eye Radio podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. Just reading here Sean Davis's column from TheFederalist.com. The Mueller just proved his entire operation was a political hit job that trampled the rule of law. I want to get down to this portion here. In fact, Department of Justice guidelines expressly prohibit the actions of both Mueller and Comey in naming and shaming individuals who were never formally charged with any wrongdoing. This has come up from a couple of our emailers stating,
right.
Well, this has happened before. Doesn't matter. You're not supposed to do it.
Right.
Quote, Department of Justice, as a series of cases makes clear, there is no ordinary legitimate governmental interest served by the government's public allegation of wrongdoing by an uncharged party, and this is true regardless of what criminal charges may be contemplated by the Assistant United States Attorney against a third party for the future, states the Department of Justice's formal policy manual on the duties of federal prosecutors and the principles of federal prosecutions. Nationwide bar rules governing all practicing attorneys in the United States also explicitly prohibit Mueller's display during Wednesday's press conference. Quote, the prosecutor in a criminal case shall refrain from making extrajudicial comments that have a substantial likelihood of heightening public condemnation of the accused, end of quote, states Rule 3.8 of the American Bar Association Rules of Professional Conduct. Multiple federal agents and prosecutors reached out to the Federalist after Mueller's press conference to express dismay at the former FBI director's behavior. Quote, I'd have been crucified under this rule for a not innocent comment about an uncharged party, a former federal prosecutor told the Federalist. I literally cannot fathom holding a press conference to say that an uncharged person was not innocent. Quote, I wish these former FBI directors would learn their lessons. Keep your mouth shut unless you're referring a case for prosecution, said Jeff Danik, retired FBI supervisor, during a phone call interview with the Federalist on Wednesday. Mueller's performance made it clear for all to see that what he ran for the last 2 years wasn't an independent investigation pursuant to the rule of law so much as an inquisition motivated by political animus. Mueller and his team refused to charge prominent Democrats for crimes he charged against Republicans. Paul Manafort was charged with unregistered lobbying of foreign governments while Mueller left alone. Longtime Democratic donor Tony Podesta and former Obama White House counsel Greg Craig. George Papadopoulos and Michael Flynn were charged with making false statements to federal investigators, while Clinton campaign cronies Glenn Simpson and Christopher Steele's false statements to Congress and the FBI were ignored. Trump's non-existent Russian connections were plumbed, while a dubious Clinton campaign-funded dossier sourced directly to Russian officials was used as a prosecutorial roadmap rather than rock-solid evidence of actual campaign collusion with the Kremlin, everything that we have stated.
Yeah, this is...
And we, by the way, we stated a long time ago, we said, if you listen to the show, you know, we said, if Mueller does not go down the route of the FISA warrant, and the collusion of the DNC and the Hillary campaign through paying the former British spy Christopher Steele by funneling the money to him in order to get dirt from inside the Kremlin to attempt to destroy the Trump campaign, and when they couldn't do that, attempt to destroy the legitimacy of the 2016 election and use that, the FBI and intelligence agencies pushing that to get the FBI the FISA warrant and the intelligence agencies to disseminate that information out and push it as legit in order to destroy the 2016 election. As we said, if Mueller ignores that, then it shows that he is a political hack. When it came out and we saw that that was not there, we said that shows the political hackery. We made that early on.
Yeah.
Dershowitz disagreed with us and thought that Mueller was honorable. Yesterday, finally, Alan Dershowitz came out and said, no, he's a partisan.
Yes.
That this is a partisan.
Right.
This is not what a prosecutor does. This is what a politician, a political hack does.
Yep. And it was political trolling yesterday. That's what that was. He had to have his moment. He had to make his moment.
By the way, and he also makes a point. He said, Mueller says, my report stands, you know, stands for itself. Well, then why are you explaining it?
Yeah, exactly. Then why are you here?
Why are you here?
Right. Well, this is something I said yesterday. I said, because we're talking about, will he testify? And we said yesterday, there's no way Mueller's going to testify. This is hours before he came out and made a statement. This is hours before anybody knew he was going to make a statement. But we said, no, he's not going to testify. And his statement is already, I mean, all that he has had to say is already in his report. And it's funny, he actually said that during his statement. Then why are you here? You're at a podium. I'm not going to be speaking. You're doing it right now. I mean, it's ridiculous. But he had to make a statement. Had to make a statement. Well, we're not going to tell you he was innocent. That's all, folks. I got to go. Well, what the hell does that mean? What it means is I need my friends on the Hill to get this done. Because I can't find a thing.
Yeah, what it was from a prosecutor was you need to impeach this president.
Right.
In essence, because I can't prove that he committed obstruction of justice.
Right. It would have been very acceptable for him to write a report if he had found evidence.
I can't prove to a jury that there was obstruction of justice.
I have nothing.
I probably can't prove the case and get it to a judge.
Right.
And I definitely can't, you know, I definitely cannot stand cross-examination on my ideas of what obstruction of justice may be. So you impeach.
Right. And, you know, I mean, he could have pointed out in his report, said, this law was broken. This person was responsible. This is how they broke the law. This is what constitutes that crime. Now, the attorney general can do whatever. Here's our report. Here's what we found. On a factual basis. Nope. They needed it to be something else all along. It's funny we heard Trey Gowdy say that. You know, talking about Strzok from the beginning. Hey, man, if this is headed toward impeachment, I'm on. I'm on board. I'm in. Well, who does that? Well, somebody who wants it to be something. Their agenda is all about that end. And that's exactly what you saw from Mueller yesterday in that statement.
You know, I wonder because what you saw from Democrats even yesterday. Well, we'll have to look at everything. But as the NBC analyst said on MSNBC yesterday, the resistance is pretty ticked off at Mueller.
Yeah, right.
So will there be, after people digest this, and let's say they digest it today and tomorrow, and the rhetoric's flying both ways, but we get to next week. Will there be a call and an angry call from some Democrats that Mueller must? Because remember, the Mueller must testify first. You know, it could come from the Senate, but it's the House that's been making all. It's the Democrats in the House that have been making all the noise. Is Nadler going to say now? This proves we need to get that. You know, look, obviously. I mean, will Democrats come out and say, look, obviously, I'm sure they will in the media, obviously Mueller wants us to impeach. So we need to get Mueller in front of us to give us the roadmap to impeachment and tell us specifically why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they're probably at that point right now where, and what's interesting too is that, you know, the impeachment thing right up until now has been Kimberly Strassel in the Wall Street Journal a couple of weeks ago wrote, what does Nadler really want? And he wants the show. He wants to put on the show. A big spectacle.
Does he want a bad show, though?
Well, here's the thing. At some point, you do either have to move on, you know, from it, or you have to go through with it. So that's the question. Because after yesterday, I think they're probably looking at this going, okay, if we don't, you know, capitalize on this right here, we're never really going to have a greater shot at impeachment. Again, we don't know what they'll base it on, what they'll try and make a case on, but this is kind of the alarm going off at the end of it. You're going to have to act now or move on. You have to make a decision fairly quickly. And if you're Nadler, what are you thinking? Because in many ways, as Andrew McCarthy points out, Mueller made it more difficult with the statement. I believe he thought that he was making it easier. I think he thought that he was essentially, because of his agenda, he was making this whole thing, he was going to be the hero. He was going to be, look, I'm telling you, impeach. That's basically what he said yesterday. We can't do anything. Our hands are tied. But you guys can.
Well, and there was some anger because I think a lot of Democrats said, well, wait a minute. Your hands weren't tied.
Right. They weren't. If you found something, you should have said. If
right.
you found something, it should have been in
it.
That report. You don't have to move on it. You hand it to the AG and say, the crime was broken. Here's the person, or the crime was committed. The law was broken. Here's the person that, or people that did it. And here's how they did it. This is what constitutes the crime. Here's the report. If you believe it's actionable, go.
Right.
We believe a crime was committed.
Right. That's simple. Nothing in the Constitution
nope.
keeps kept Mueller from doing that.
Right.
He just didn't want to go down that path.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Because he believed under cross-examination it would be torn to shreds. He
yep.
knew he didn't have an obstruction case.
And if they move on impeachment, it's going to be torn to shreds. He didn't really help the left here on impeachment. He made that a bigger hill to climb. I'm not saying they won't move forward, but it's a lot different now.
Your calls and comments coming up next, 866-90-RED-EYE.
Road check is a critical aspect of the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance's strategy for keeping our highways safe. This year, Road Check will take place June 4th through the 6th and will focus on steering and suspension systems. Despite each year's focus, thousands of vehicles are placed out of service due to brake violations that are related to brake stroke in particular. To prepare for Road Check or your next route, make sure your brakes are operating properly and confirm that the brake stroke on each wheel end is correct. This means that the air pressure should be between 90 and 100 PSI. Check your brake lining or pad for proper thickness, too. Take your road trek prep one step further. Stop into a participating TA truck service May 1st through June 6th for a free mid-trip inspection to help avoid being placed out of service.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley. Let's go to Jack in Pittsburgh. Jack, welcome on Mueller's statement yesterday. Jack, hi, you're on Red Eye Radio.
Good morning. Hey, I'll make this quick. Two things. First off, I've been a Democrat my whole life, but I've become a dangerous Democrat to my party because I'm capable of rational thought and I'm capable of disseminating the information. Second, you know, I watch a lot of media, liberal media, I watch conservative media, and I hear them talking about, the Democrats talking about getting out ahead of what storm is coming. And if the IG report comes out and he finds criminal wrongdoing from the upper echelon, this is going to hit the Democratic Party like a freight train. We're never going to get the presidency back. They just handed Donald Trump another 4 years, because there's no way to get a that's an Obama guy. If he finds wrongdoing, we're just hosed.
Yeah, I mean, it will certainly have a political effect. I don't know how long lived that will be, but there is no doubt that I think a number of the processes there at the Justice Department and otherwise will change. I think they're already changing as a result of AG Barr, but that's the case. You can say that. You could make that case for any attorney general during their tenure. I think that, though, that the you do make the point on Horowitz. We don't know what's going to be found, but we're, if you listen to what Mark Meadows said at the end of last week, and we don't know if he was referring to Horowitz specifically, but we do know the Attorney General Barr said a few weeks ago that he expects the IG report sometime in May or June. Well, June kicks off here in a couple of days, so we'll see. It's going to happen. Definitely, and that report's due, if it's still on par, any time now.
And remember, the Justice Department Inspector General yesterday issued a report accusing a former FBI Deputy Assistant Director of leaking sensitive information to a member of the press.
Right.
A report from the Office of Inspector General found the unnamed former official had accepted a gift from the media, member of the media. In return, the IG report found the FBI official engaged in misconduct when the official accepted a ticket valued at approximately $225 to attend a media-sponsored dinner as a gift from a member of the media in violation of FBI policy and federal regulations. The report provided little information into the nature of what was leaked. No charges have yet been filed. The report stating the prosecution of the former deputy assistant director had been declined without providing further explanation. The case has been referred to the FBI for potential further action.
Right.
Don't know what that was about, but that one came out yesterday. Unnamed, and we don't know about what.
Right.
So is this the beginning? Don't know.
Well, I guess the bright side is what works in the favor of true justice is that the IG, of course, has access to anything and everything there at the Justice Department and does not need to issue a subpoena or anything else. Horowitz has access to everything that he needs to put together the facts, and we'll see what he comes up with. But it will be a matter of days if the Attorney General was correct, was accurate when he said that on Capitol Hill a few weeks ago.
It raised some eyebrows. I know mine when that report came out. I'm like, Inspector General report? Okay, well, what is this? Was this just the beginning?
Right.
And, you know, who is this former FBI Deputy Assistant Director that they're talking about? Mm. And is this just the first report on one incident or one count?
Right. And was there other
of many counts of that particular FBI director?
Exactly. That's exactly where I was going. Other incidents that they were involved in. Was this just the tip of the iceberg? Just one of the things that they were involved in or doing? Again, we're going to find out soon enough. It is going to be interesting in watching what the IG has, because we already know the power that the Attorney General has and being able to declassify information and look back into things. Shedding light takes a lot of time, especially when you're working, you know, against so many that don't want that to happen. But finally it's happening, and it's still going to take time in terms of true justice actually playing out here. So, but I know that I believe that it's going to happen. I believe eventually it will happen. I can't put a timeline to it, but I know we're on the right track right now. And there's the other thing.
Well, here's my question. Is this the first part of the report?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, are we going to get every single day for the next month these kind of things that come out? Is
right.
it going to be one report released, or is it going to be a number of reports that we get over a period? Or will there be a number of these things happening, then the full report?
Huh.
You know they're guilty. Exoneration is not an option. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric. I'm Gary. 866-90 Red Eye. We've covered the Mueller statement from almost every angle possible. Let's head back to you. We go to John in Alexandria, Virginia. John, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome. Hi.
Yeah, it took Dershowitz 2 years to find out what I knew from the beginning, which is Mueller is a political hack. And that, I'm not even going to call it a press conference. Him coming before the cameras yesterday was just about him not wanting to be subpoenaed before Congress. Because I would love for him to be in front of Congress answering questions from Republicans, because he said nothing new yesterday based on what his report said. And the left just ignores the fact that him and Barr are still on the same page as far as the conclusions. So time will show, just like you said with the IG report, once that comes out, once Barr completes his report, what we've been seeing for these past and hearing for these past 2 years is going to come to fruition. I mean, your last caller said if wrongdoing is found out. I mean, it's obvious that there's been wrongdoing, unlike what Mueller found with Trump in the Russia investigation.
Yeah, but you know something? I'm not going to criticize the last caller, because the last thing you want to do is fall into the trap that the last from the opposition that have said that Trump committed treason without any evidence of Trump committing treason. And so if somebody says if there was wrongdoing, I understand where they're coming from. They're saying, and because I look at it, and without question, as we know, there was wrongdoing. It's how bad was the wrongdoing when you look, for example, that Comey was fired. Comey right. leaked information that he shouldn't have leaked. McCabe was fired. Strzok was fired. So they were fired. Yeah. They were fired for a reason. So we know that they did things that were wrong. It's how wrong were they?
Right. Right.
And that's a good point, too, because you're saying, hey, we're going to give them what Trump is not getting, the presumption of innocence.
Well, yes. I would yes. say this. I will give them the presumption of innocence in spirit, John. But I'm more interested in if the attorney general is going to, or anybody is going to, build a case, that they build the case on very solid evidence. And I think, and you know, in the court of public opinion, as we have this discussion, I think it's important to stay with what we know at this point. We talk about what the potential could be, but I think that's ultimately you have to focus on what we know. And there's a lot that we do know. I mean, there's a lot of facts right now regarding this case. And, you know, much to the dismay of Chuck Todd, and thank you, John, it is not a conspiracy theory. There's documented evidence. We know a number of things that have happened. So, again, it's about connecting it all and then finding out, did it rise to the point of breaking the law, who would be responsible for it, and that's how you do
it. When you know that, look, when there are a lot of dots that we know, and you connect a significant number of the dots, and then somebody who is involved in some of the dots does something that is viewed as not regular and not within the rules of the Justice Department, whether it was Mueller yesterday or James Comey, well, then you can sit there and say, they acted irregular. They fit this dot over here. We're asking those questions is what we're doing, but we're doing it based on things that we know. The whole thing of Trump committing, Trump committed treason by colluding with the Russians to hack the election. That was the original charge.
Right.
We now know that that was basically based on the dossier, which was Russian propaganda. Russian disinformation and propaganda paid for by the Democrats. You want collusion? There's collusion.
Right.
And so, you know, but the actual, was there evidence? No, there was an allegation that came from the Russians is what we're told. That's what the Democrats tell us. Mm-hmm. So it came. Now we always get, I got that the other day. Well, what if it didn't come from the Russians? Well, then we'll find out about that. And then we'll find out that if Steele made it up himself, that makes it look worse, doesn't it?
Right.
So again, we're going with what those that claim that Trump did something. We're going by what they say, and also looking into the possibility of maybe everything that they're saying is lying. We've covered it all.
Right.
But for the sake of, you know, whatever discussion we're having at the time, sometimes we go with one particular narrative that they are carrying.
Yeah.
That's all.
You know, so I really think that, again, the statement by Mueller, if you think about it, is going to be one of those pivotal points where it took, not that there wasn't a lot of chatter going on, but the energy on the whole Mueller thing was going in a couple of different directions. Obviously, the attorney general taking on what he's taking on, but politically, Nadler, they just kind of, you know, were toying around with this whole thing and doing the whole show, as Kimberly Strassel at Wall Street Journal pointed out a couple of weeks ago. You know, what does Nadler want? What does he really want? As she pointed out in her article, her position is that he just wants the show, and I think she's right. He just wanted the big show. But now the show's over. Now, you've got it, because Mueller clearly believes he handed you a gift. Now, I don't know. I have my doubts as to whether it's a gift or a curse, whether it actually works for Democrats or not. And they can make the decision to go forward on the impeachment process if they want to do that. But it's going to be a very different set of circumstances and considerations in doing so as a result of his statement.
Well, there is a question. Will there be some Democrats that will, you know, I saw the interview with our colleague Mark Levin, who said, you know, now he believes it's a possibility that, you know, Mueller doesn't need to testify because he gave Nadler everything he wanted, and therefore they'll just go with it at that particular point. Mm. But will there be? Because there is, and we're talking about, you know, we play the audio cut from MSNBC. They're saying, look, the response from the resistance is Mueller isn't doing their job. They've got tons of questions for him as to why, you know, if something's there on obstruction, why he didn't make it clear. Some of them are making the same point we're making. There's nothing in the Constitution that kept him from stating, I believe there's the evidence of a crime. Let Barr decide, and to explain to the American public in the report, you know, what he believes, because the report's out there.
Mm-hmm.
So if he believes specifically, there should be no problem with lining up this, and this equals obstruction of justice. And then you make the argument. You just don't list what happened. You make the argument for obstruction of justice, and then you let the American public and Congress and everybody else cross-examine you in the arena of public ideas, since it's out there in public, as to whether it is or not, and then send it to a federal judge and send it to a jury.
Right.
If you believe, whether it's when he's done it with the presidency or whatever,
mm-hmm.
or if the evidence is so, here's the point. If the evidence is solid, let's say he came back and said Donald Trump ordered the destruction of audio tapes that proved he colluded with the Russians, and he paid off people. He gave this person a vacation to one of his golf resorts, and mm-hmm. they agreed to shut up, and I got them to testify about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that evidence itself was in there.
Right.
Trump would be impeached,
mm-hmm.
and then there would be prosecution against him.
Yep.
So there's a process where you could get impeachment by giving more, by explaining to the American public why it is obstruction of justice. Well, then you can get to impeachment and removal from office and put him in jail.
Right.
Why didn't you go down that path as a prosecutor? Because you didn't have a case.
You got nothing. You got nothing.
And so, I mean, I was talking about our colleague Mark Levin talking about the fact that they just may, you know, like, look, they got enough. Now they're going to go for impeachment. Well, will they? I don't know if they will, because, again, I look at what Andrew McCarthy wrote. Hmm. There's going to be the scream on both sides now for Mueller to testify.
Right.
If they dare go through impeachment, if you go to impeachment, how can't you bring Mueller? How can you sit there and ignore? The Republicans would go crazy. We want Mueller to testify to tell us what obstruction of justice is. No, we just wish to impeach. We don't want to subpoena Mueller.
Right.
That will be a political circus if it got to that point.
I think that what Mueller thought he was doing agenda wise and what he actually did, the ultimate effect, as McCarthy points out, and I just get this again, it's you have to look at it as to the process. We talk about the fact that impeachment is a political process. Okay. But you still have to have something. You still have to make the argument on something. Nadler wanted the show, but the show's one thing. You can put on the show with your gavel. Go ahead. Hit the gavel. You got a gavel. Gavel.
Well, just because the House won't subpoena. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, come on.
I'm sorry.
I'm giving you room here, man. Let's set that up. There you go.
We have our gavel here.
Exactly. He can do that. He can put on the show. But it's very different when you get called to actually move on with impeachment and go through the actual process.
Well, if the Democrats don't call him to testify and the Democrats start an inquiry and they don't call him to testify, what keeps the Senate Judiciary Committee and Lindsey Graham from putting a subpoena out and getting him to testify in front of Republicans and then see what happens with that zoo when Republicans start cross-examining him on obstruction of justice? If he just refuses to answer any of the questions on it from Democrats and Republicans, that will look bad, and that will look bad for the House process of impeachment.
Right.
Could possibly.
Right.
Look bad. So, I don't know. I can't. Look, this is one of those adventures. I can't tell you whether what happened yesterday would be good for impeachment or bad. It all depends. There's so much still to be played out in all of this.
Right. Well, I think it changes the process. I think it changes the process because of the fact that Nadler and the Democrats in the House were looking at a number of different things. It was just kind of this, oh, yeah, impeachment. Oh, yes, impeachment. Oh, certainly, impeachment. Remember just last week, the whole talk about impeachment centered around what? The fact that people close to Trump were not going to respond, and the Attorney General, we're not responding to subpoenas. You know, so that's obstruction. That was the new obstruction.
Right. The new,
well, now
new
they're back to the original.
Now they're back to the old obstruction.
Well, why did they move away from the old one?
Because they didn't have a case.
Because they didn't have a case.
Nothing.
Well, Mueller brought it back. And they still have no case, but they've got to do something with it. Or do they?
It's a good point. It's a different obstruction of justice than it was last week.
Right. All over again.
Yes, 866-90. Right, after it already failed once.
Right. They left it for a reason.
They left it. Then they went to the new obstruction of justice.
And Mueller brings it back.
Then they left that and they go back to the old obstruction of justice.
Right.
That's getting tiring. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Radio. He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We go to Carmen in Phoenix on the Mueller statement from yesterday. Carmen, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio.
Thank you very much for taking my call. A couple things. As far as the impeachment situation is concerned, Americans have got to be fed up with it because they've been talking about impeaching Trump ever since the second he beat Hillary. He hadn't even taken office yet.
Mm-hmm.
Second, with regard to Mueller, you know, he was the Democrats' golden boy. He was going to find all this information. They were going to be able to throw Trump out of office. And when the report came out, now he's their whipping boy because they didn't hear what they wanted to hear. And as a result of all this, ever since they took control of Congress, nothing significant for legislation has been done. There's been investigations. There's been bickering. There's been subpoenas. Nothing that Congress should be doing for the American people has been done. And if I was the chairman of the RNC, I would be using that next year as the political rallying cry as far as getting the Republicans back in control of the Congress, because they're not going to lose the Senate. And that would really put everything back in the proper order.
Well, and thanks so much. And also in those toss-up districts for the House.
Right.
The House could be in play at that moment.
Right.
Because in those toss-up districts, a lot of those people don't want the president to be impeached.
Right.
For nothing.
Right.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara, along with Eric Hurley. In the news, the Robert Mueller statement from yesterday.
If we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. We did not, however, make a determination as to whether the president did commit a crime. The introduction to the Volume 2 of our report explains that decision. There has been discussion about an appearance before Congress. Any testimony from this office would not go beyond our report. It contains our findings and analysis and the reasons for the decisions we made. We chose those words carefully, and the work speaks for itself. And the report is my testimony. I would not provide information beyond that which is already public in any appearance before Congress.
So there you go. The Mueller statement yesterday. He is now a private citizen. It's being viewed as his call for impeachment.
Right.
Statement yesterday, really boggling a lot of the minds, what has been going on with this. One thing here. Where Mueller, and this has to be addressed, and it seemed to pick up steam yesterday, then nobody was talking about it anymore. But remember, Mueller came out and said, well, you know, we didn't even think about prosecuting because you can't indict a sitting president. And that's why we came to that decision. Barr said something completely different. One of them is lying.
Right. And that truth will, at some point, come out.
And Barr made the case that I believe him and Rosenstein were there.
Right.
When he made it clear, well, no, that's not why we're not charging. It's not you. And that was made, I mean, whether Brett Hume made note of that, mm-hmm. Molly Hemingway made note of that, I think Andrew McCarthy made, a bunch of different people that have been paying attention and said, well, whoa, wait a minute. Barr and others have said that isn't the case.
Right.
That has to be resolved because somebody's not telling the truth.
Right. I do wonder what the response, I guess, will be from the Attorney General, if any. What is going to be the official statement based on it? Because Barr will want to correct something if it's wrong. This is not what I was told in this meeting. This was not what we were told from the Mueller team or Mueller himself. But I'm wondering if they're preparing a statement themselves.
This from the Wall Street Journal. Their editorial board. Mr. Mueller offered no new facts about his probe at the press conference in which he read a statement and took no questions. The event was mainly intended to deflect bipartisan requests that he testify on Capitol Hill about his report on Russia and the Trump campaign. He may have succeeded in that deflection, but not without taking revenge on the president who was criticized his probe. The special counsel said the Russians he indicted for interfering in the 2016 election are innocent until proven guilty. About Mr. Trump, he said only that there was insufficient evidence to charge a broader conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russia. Yet, as his report shows beyond doubt, there is no evidence of a conspiracy, broad or narrow. His report recounts a series of contacts between individual Russians and Trump officials that were of no great consequence and are connected by nothing more than coincidence. Mr. Mueller should have said this clearly on Wednesday. Regarding obstruction of justice, Mr. Mueller suggested that the reason his office reached no prosecutory decision is because the Justice Department rules don't allow the indictment of a president while in office. Charging the president with the crime was therefore not an option we could consider. He thus left it hanging for everyone else to infer whether he would have indicted Mr. Trump if he were not a sitting president. And he left the Attorney General, William Barr, to take responsibility for reaching the prosecutorial judgment that Mr. Mueller refused to make. Mr. Mueller added to this sneaky anti-Trump implication by noting that the Constitution requires a process other than a criminal justice system to formally accuse a sitting president of wrongdoing. What else could he mean but Congress and impeachment? Yet Mr. Mueller's analysis of obstruction evidence in his own report makes clear that no investigation was obstructed. Not the FBI's counterintelligence probe and not his own. No witnesses were interfered with, and Mr. Mueller was allowed over 2 years to issue nearly 500 search and seizure warrants and interview anyone he wanted, included anyone in the White House. Mr. Trump sometimes showed his exasperation and bad judgment in suggesting to more than one advisor that Mr. Mueller be fired, but no one acted on it. The special counsel probe rolled on without interference. Yet on Wednesday, Mr. Mueller would say that if we had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. Since when do prosecutors make it their job to announce whether someone they investigated is exonerated? Their job is to indict or not, and if not, to keep quiet. Mr. Mueller finished the statement with an ode to the attorneys, the FBI agents, the analysts, the professional staff who helped us conduct this investigation in a fair and independent manner. These individuals were of the highest integrity. Does that include Andrew McCabe, the former deputy FBI director who is being investigated for lying to investigators? Does it mean Peter Strzok and Lisa Page? Mr. Strzok was part of Mr. Mueller's investigating team until the critical emails against Donald Trump were discovered. Does Mr. Mueller also mean the FBI officials who use the politically motivated and since discredited Steele dossier to persuade a foreign intelligence surveillance court to issue a warrant to spy on Trump advisor Carter Page? Mr. Mueller didn't appear to want to investigate that part of the Russian story. Was that the behavior of the highest integrity? Mr. Mueller would have been better served, would have better served the country and his own reputation if he had simply done what he claimed he wants to do and let his report speak for itself. Instead, he has weighed in for the Democrats who want to impeach the president, though he doesn't have to be politically accountable as he skips town. This is the core problem with special counsels who think they only answer to themselves.
Great point. I mean, it's, I think, very clear to most people what the process was supposed to be. We talked for, you know, the better part of 2 years of, all right, this is where an investigation should begin on the whole warrant thing. But it didn't go there, and we asked, well, why? Then we asked yesterday, just coincidence. By the way, we do not have moles, and we are not moles inside the Justice Department or anywhere else. It just happened to be coincidence that yesterday on the program, hours before Mueller came out, we were talking about the fact that, well, gee, if you're Mueller and you know by going down to the FISA court and FISA warrant road, you're going to open up a can of worms that eventually leads to you, including the FISA court rebuking the Justice Department going back to 2011 when Mueller himself was FBI director. So awkward doesn't begin to cover a situation like this, and that could easily explain why he did not go down that road. He did not look at the FISA warrant, the FISA court situation.
And we said that question will be asked. He refused to answer, and he will look bad. And yep. So we said yesterday and the day before, he's not going to testify.
No, and there's no way he's going to testify. And this was him. I love the way they put it right before he skips town. It really is about him, I mean, getting out. He's trying to essentially get away with this huge political hit job on the president. He's trolling the president once again and trying to lob a softball to Capitol Hill to see if they'll move on impeachment.
Well, and it's interesting because, and I'm just so glad I read that portion of the Wall Street Journal, because it's brought up the third point of why it's not obstruction of justice. Number one, there was no underlying crime. Trump never committed a crime. So his intent could not be to obstruct justice to protect himself. So you look at that and go, there was no intent to protect himself. Now, the opposition says, well, he might have been wanting to protect Manafort. He had no idea that they were going down that. Well, you don't know what he might have been trying to protect. Okay, so, all right, you may make the case. Let's go further then. Let's look further then. Okay, if you want to make that argument that you can have obstruction on an underlying crime, if you destroy evidence. Well, anything Trump did was legal.
Right.
Fired Comey, legal. Discussing things with people who didn't do anything that would have been legal, not obstruction of justice. But the other thing is, as Wall Street Journal points out, nothing was ever obstructed.
Right. Right.
Nothing was ever, not any part of the investigation was ever obstructed. No evidence ever destroyed. No witnesses that were paid off to be quiet. Nothing. Never happened. In fact, the administration cooperated completely. And it gets back to what Dershowitz said. So what the prosecutor is trying to say is that we couldn't prove. And that's why we believe that Mueller did what he did. Because he knows a federal judge would have laughed. A jury would have laughed. Probably the prosecutors who had tried the case would have said, we can't try this piece of crap.
Right.
If he tried to do it. There was no obstruction charge to be filed. Mueller yesterday knows that he cannot be cross-examined by any. He certainly can't be cross-examined by in the arena of public ideas, and certainly can't be cross-examined by Republicans in Congress asking him those questions, and maybe Democrats that might ask him those questions. Wait a minute, you made it sound like you have obstruction. What do you have? Please tell us. Well, he didn't have anything. And the third thing, as I just mentioned, that he had, there was no obstruction to begin with. So you had no underlying crime. You had no crime to actually obstruct, because anything that Trump did was legal, and nothing ended up actually being obstructed.
Right.
So what you're saying is, if Trump thought about obstructing when he told somebody to fire somebody that he legally could fire,
mm-hmm.
that's obstruction, any court's going to throw that out. They're going to laugh at you
right.
with that obstruction.
Right.
So what did he do? He implies that Trump committed obstruction.
Yes. Because he really can't accuse him of it.
Because he can't accuse him of it.
The best he can
right.
say is, right. we didn't find evidence of his innocence. That's bizarre behavior from a guy who acts just like his former colleague, James Comey.
I wonder if Lindsey Graham will still be saying, oh, I think that the Mueller, remember how he always says, the Mueller report was done with great integrity. He just said that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what he will say tomorrow or later on today if he's asked about it, because we've always disagreed with Lindsey Graham on that.
Yep.
Now, we know that he was trying to use that as a political hammer.
Sure.
On the Democrats, but mm-hmm. it's a weak argument, because we have said, well, as soon as the Mueller report came out, and if you've been listening to the show, we said, if Mueller doesn't go down the path, and it's very, very simple as an investigator, if you've never listened to our show before, we get new listeners all the time. If Mueller was told, look, your job is to find out if Trump colluded with the Russians to affect the outcome of the election.
Right. Okay?
So your first day on your job, you say, where do I go? The FBI got a secret warrant. Let's go down the dossier. Okay, the dossier. Let's go down the dossier route. Over the last year and a half, you've known about the dossier. You go down the dossier because why? Because that was the evidence that was used to get a FISA warrant. So first you look at you go to where the FISA warrant was because you say, wow, the FBI was able to get a secret warrant to spy on the Trump campaign. There must be some damn good probable cause there
right.
in order to get that secret warrant.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see the dossier, and then you have to investigate where this comes from. And then you go back to find out, okay, that came from the Russians, that came from Christopher Steele, that came from, ooh, the Democrats paying for that. Oh, there's my collusion right there. You want my Russian collusion? And so I got to assume that then this had to come from Russian intelligence who's trying to affect the election. So, wow. Well, where does this go from here? Okay, they try to get a secret warrant on this? Oh, wow. Brennan, he was pushing this FISA warrant. Comey was pushing the FISA warrant in order to, these other people are doing it. I wonder if there was perjury with any of these FBI agents. The fact that he never went down that route, which a normal investigator would be, has always made us suspicious of Mueller's role in FISA abuse early when he was FBI director from 2011, or, you know, through that period of 2011 to 2013, when the FISA court says that the FBI abused, the Justice Department, the FBI violated the rights of Americans in the FISA warrant process.
Right.
So we always said, if he doesn't go down that route, you know it's biased. You know he's a political hack.
Yes.
Because you have to go down that route. And there must be a reason he didn't go down that route. And he knows now, because Barr has made it clear he is going down that route. Barr was asked the question, how come Mueller didn't go down that road? He goes, I don't know, but we are.
Yep.
Mueller has heard that. And I believe that Mueller is trying to do anything possible to keep the hype of impeachment and hoping that overshadows anything that Barr's office is doing. 866-90-RED-EYE.
A lot of people in a lot of places have been hearing a lot of, and a lot of.
Certainly over the last two-week period, we have seen a historic persistence of severe weather.
Agriculture Department meteorologist Brad Rippey, the severe weather, including a lot of tornadoes.
The 12-day period from May 17th through the 28th featured at least 8 tornadoes per day based on preliminary reports. And some days, much more than that, several dozen. And that is a record for the most consecutive days with at least 8 tornadoes reported somewhere in the United States.
But he says it's not the actual number that's remarkable. It's the persistence of it, persistence of rain events.
With the epic flooding occurring right now in the Arkansas River Basin, coming out of Oklahoma into Arkansas, and ongoing flooding in many other basins.
It just will not let up, and not expected to, at least for the next week or so. In Washington, Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. We'll get to some of your calls and comments following the bottom of the hour. Brian handed me this from our meteorologist, John Trout.
Yeah.
27 tornadoes in 4 states last night.
Yeah.
There were some interesting times yesterday around here.
Right. There were. I was up late in the day as this stuff was breaking, and I was, you know, basically contacting family members who were at work in their offices saying, please pay attention to the weather.
There was like rotation right above our studios.
Mm, yeah, that's what they said, right?
Yep.
And so the storm season this year has been incredibly active. Speaking of which, here's your forecast.
We can't outrule the possibility of more severe weather for your Thursday in a moment where that area is centered. The reason why? Well, simply put, we're still getting a lot of cold air coming out of Canada and the Pacific Northwest, and that's clashing with the warm air coming up out of the Gulf. We've seen snow in Wyoming this week, and we've seen record temperatures in places like Georgia. So in between lies the plains, where we've seen the most volatility for severe weather this week. Today in Denver, for instance, we'll only see a high of 66 degrees. Now, things will be warming for Friday and Saturday. That'll most likely lessen the chance of severe weather on the plains. Expect heavy rainfall today from Missouri into Illinois and Indiana. That'll move on up into the northeast, clearing by the weekend. The Arkansas River runs through four states. Expect more evacuations along that Mississippi River tributary. The National Forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Mind Meld, 1-866-90-RED-EYE. Back to Gary McNamara and Eric Harley.
And he's Eric, I'm Gary, 866-90-RED-EYE. Just reading from Alan Dershowitz and his column in The Hill. Dershowitz, shame on Robert Mueller for exceeding his role. Until today, I have defended Mueller against the accusations that he is partisan. As you know, we said the day, you know, we said, look, we were always suspicious. We always did not believe he was going down the right path on collusion, which would have been to go and look at the FISA warrant application, because that would have been the best evidence of Donald Trump collusion, which would have then sent him down the path of Democrat collusion. with the Russians to change the outcome of the election. And we said if he doesn't go down that path, it's a partisan hack investigation. And when the report came out and we found out he didn't go down that, we made that accusation at that point. But Dershowitz says, until today, I've defended Mueller against the accusations that he is partisan. I did not believe that he personally favored either the Democrats or the Republicans, or had a point of view on whether President Trump should be impeached. But I've now changed my mind by putting his thumb, indeed his elbow, on the side of justice in favor of impeachment based on obstruction of justice. Mueller has revealed his partisan bias. Because the whole point is, Mueller shouldn't be concerned with the political process.
Right. It has nothing to do with him.
His only job was this or that.
Right.
And so he was obvious in his partisanship yesterday, which, again, as a special counsel, or as you have called him, not a special prosecutor, but
special
a
troll.
Special troll.
Trollocutor.
No, you've got a great point.
Because yesterday was nothing more than trolling. That it really was.
Comey was universally criticized for going beyond his responsibility to state whether there was sufficient evidence to indict Clinton. Mueller, however, did even more. He went beyond the conclusion of his report and gave a political gift to Democrats in Congress who are seeking to institute impeachment proceedings against President Trump. Look, I will say this, because you and I had this discussion here, that once you say you're not going to charge, special prosecutor is supposed to shut up. The difference, though, between the two cases is everybody knew precisely what part of the law Hillary Clinton broke.
Right.
That's the difference. Everybody knew what the crime was. Mm-hmm. We knew specifically what the crime was. We knew what the charge was, what law she broke in the Espionage Act. That's what changed it. And so Comey, in that case, knowing that his critics knew exactly what law she broke, it was still not in policy and wrong what he did. But he did that because it was so obvious that she should have been prosecuted, because the public knew, we knew, Nobody was debating whether she had the server in her house. Nobody. Nobody was debating. There was no debate on the evidence and no debate on the espionage law.
Right.
He just said no reasonable prosecutor would prosecute it because we can't find a case like this. And we said, well, of course you can't, because there's never been a case where a Secretary of State kept a kept a server in her house to avoid the Freedom of Information Act and at the same time passed top secret information through her computer at home.
Right.
And use that as her work State Department email. That's insane. And there's criminality and intent. The intent, well, there, we couldn't find the intent. The intent was what? The intent was putting the server in the home.
Right.
You know the incredible thing is? Think about that. They know what the crime was, but Comey was always, well, we didn't, you know, there wasn't an intent to do wrongdoing on her part.
Yeah,
remember,
it was.
Remember she, and it's like, well, no, the intent is, the intent is the, as Troy Gotti said, the intent is the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's no behavior. The crime is the intent and the thought alone.
Right. Well, and that's it is obviously a ton of agenda that is attached here to both Comey and Mueller. Mueller making the case that, well, it would be unfair when he got into the whole fairness part of it. It'd be unfair to accuse someone of a crime if there is no court resolution for the charge. That also is not your concern. The political process or what the attorney general does with your report from there is not your concern. It's as if Mueller was saying, well, if we weren't going to get him removed from office, then we weren't going to go down that road. If we couldn't get him removed from office right away, then we could. No, because if you had evidence, there actually is a process, Mr. Mueller, and you know
right.
that.
As I,
you pointed that
right.
out earlier.
Yeah, because if Mueller, as we said, for people that might not be listening earlier, if Mueller had said, yeah, I mean, we found out that Donald Trump destroyed. That Donald Trump destroyed cell phones.
Mm-hmm. Right. Deleted emails.
Deleted
text messages.
Deleted text messages, deleted emails, destroyed phones. And
set up a secret server in his own
right,
home.
Destroyed emails, destroyed servers. That you know.
Oh my gosh! Oh, this is so stupid.
If you had that, and he paid off, he gave you know he gave members of his staff and we have it on tape where he told them, don't say anything, and I'll give you, I'll give you a raise and give you a trip to, my golf courses
right.
in Scotland because it's not making money.
Right.
No, but whatever. but we send you over there. Well, that's all he has to put out, and it's like that's why we believe there was obstruction of justice here. Well, at that point, the president would be, if that evidence existed, at that point there would be an impeachment hearing. The special counsel would at that point probably testify because, this is the information that we have. The impeachment proceeding would go through, and even with a Republican-led Congress, the president would be removed from office.
Right.
Then the criminal case would take place. Unless the new president pardoned him at that point,
mm-hmm.
which is always a possibility at that time, that if Pence hypothetically took over. So there is an immediate, if you have the evidence, you don't need, that's the whole point. If you have the evidence, you don't need to indict. All you do is give the report to the president and say, we believe that we have the evidence. We believe we have the evidence for indicting the president. I can indict the president, but the evidence is there that he committed a crime.
Right. Here, and this is what constitutes the crime. This is right. what they did. That rises to the level of criminality. Here you go, Attorney General, because no other consideration should be involved. You either have it, you find the facts. That's simple.
Right. And so if you've got the facts and they're damning facts, the president would be impeached by the House, then removed from office by the Senate, and then the criminal justice process would start taking place.
Right.
So if you had it, you don't need to hint and imply, well, you know, the president might have committed obstruction of justice, so you should go down the political path.
He might have been thinking of it. He might have thought it. What were you thinking? That whole thing. By the way, that was a horrible attempt to try and just, they were frustrated. You know what was going on. You know, now we have some real perspective on the Mueller team and how he operated. You know, during that time, remember, the word came out that the back and forth, the questions, what were you thinking when you fired Mueller?
Right.
Almost as if they wanted him to blurt out, I was thinking I would obstruct justice. Like some kind of weird accidental confession or something. You know, I mean, it was a desperate attempt to pull something out, to make something out of nothing, to create something that wasn't there.
And that's why he didn't go forward with it, because Mueller didn't believe he had the case.
Right.
And Eric and I shouldn't speak for you, but I think you're on the same path as I am. I do believe that Mueller's statement was also a response to where Barr is going. Mm-hmm. And I think you have, I haven't seen Mueller speak in a long time. All I can tell, and you said it to me first, and so I'm going, again, it was in my mind when you said it, because when I woke up, you said, I said, I haven't watched any of it.
Right, and yesterday morning,
said,
yeah.
And you said, he seemed really nervous.
Yep.
And a few people have brought that up, that he really seemed to be nervous in that statement. And so, you know, we wonder whether he is concerned about where Barr is going, because we know that Barr made it publicly clear that he's going to go down the FISA warrant thing. And as we know, and we've told everybody before, the FISA court rebuked the Obama administration for not following the FISA rules to getting secret warrants, and violated the rights of many, many Americans in a period between 2011 and 2016, and 2011 to 2013, Robert Mueller was the head of the FBI.
Right.
And so we don't know, and we're wondering, we've all often asked the question and asked this before today, but if Mueller doesn't go down that path, is it because of the whole FISA warrant thing? Because that would show that it's partisan. Because that's obviously, as an investigator, the first path that you go down.
Yep.
Barr's made clear he's going down that path. And so, again, if Mueller had a case, he simply makes the case, and impeachment and removal from office happens if it's evidence that you can defend of clear obstruction of justice.
Right.
He didn't have it because there was no underlying. There were three things here. There was no underlying crime. The president broke no law. He didn't attempt to illegally obstruct anything, and nothing in any investigation was ever obstructed.
Right.
Well, then what are you punishing? Well, the president thought about getting rid of, he did get rid of Comey, and he thought about it, getting rid of Mueller.
Right.
He thought about getting rid of Mueller, and he thought about,
getting rid of Comey?
No, he did get rid of Comey.
Oh, you mean after Comey?
Right.
Yeah, during the investigation.
Right.
During the Mueller investigation,
right.
Yes.
And so, because it's not that he did it, it's what his thought was.
Right.
And his thought in itself is obstruction, not actually whether he obstructs or whether there's even. And again, I don't know how you figure out an intent to obstruct when there is no crime.
Right.
To begin with. But it's such a weak case. And if he had a strong case of obstruction, like I said, if he had the case that, you know, boom.
Yeah.
That number one, if that collusion happened and Trump was destroying evidence,
mm-hmm.
Well, then he's impeached by the House, and Republicans would remove him from office.
Right. Yes.
And then he's out of office.
It'd be a clear case. Right. Look, they on Capitol Hill, they'd probably look at it and say the evidence was there.
I think even
a Trey Gowdy would probably look at that if the evidence were clear, if they made the case. By the way, I think also with his demeanor yesterday with the fact that he was very nervous, why are people nervous in a setting like that? Because you're not confident. You lack the confidence in what you're doing at that moment.
Well, as I said, any Democrat or any liberal political pundit right now speaking on CNN or MSNBC, when you hear them speak, think of all the things that we have brought up and think to yourself, could their argument face cross-examination?
Right.
And it can't.
No, there's no way.
It's that simple.
There's no way.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Drivers, our friends at PACCAR have a product for your toolbox called PACLink. It provides real-time information about what's going on with your truck. Michelle Moline is manager of product development for PACLink and has more details.
PACLink is basically a mobile diagnostic device that has a Bluetooth chip in it that allows you to use your phone to read why the check engine light is on in your truck. One of our biggest users is actually our own dealerships at PACCAR. Now, our dealers are also reselling this product to customers, and customers, owner-operators, or fleet drivers, use this while they're on the road so that if they have a check engine light that comes on, they can easily just use their phone to plug this thing in and see what's going on and then either send a report back to their dispatcher to await further instructions or, in the case of an owner-operator, possibly even just figure out what needs to be done and go from there. It's a very simple ordering process. Go to PACCAR.com/PACLink, P-A-C-L-I-N-K. I should mention, too, that if you're a member of OOIDA Association, you receive a 10% discount by logging into the OOIDA website.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. Will be interesting to see where this all goes today.
I mean, yeah,
what's the first line of fire coming out from Democrats and then the response from Republicans today?
What about the Attorney General? Is he going to issue a statement?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, because what he said is not what what Mueller said yesterday.
Right. On
obstruction is not what the Attorney General said.
Right.
And is he still out of town? As far as I know, he's still out of town.
Yeah, I don't know. He was in Alaska, I think, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah,
in Alaska.
So yep. We'll see if there is a statement.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.